תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends. Creator, we thank you for the privilege you have given us to be part of this society. Since at this moment, it is impossible to imagine our life without our friends. We beg you to help all the friends connect and feel your love in this connection so that the palate will taste and we will bring you contentment. Hello, we are going to be reading in the readings of Rabash. We're going to be reading the article which is called What Does It Mean That the Creator Favors Someone in the Work? You can find the article in all our study materials that we have in the lesson, in our sites in Sviva Tova, as well as the Arvut system. You can also send live questions through our sites. Here in the study hall, whoever asks a question is asked to stand up, hold the microphone close to his mouth, and speak loud and clear. Rabash, the article, What Does It Mean That the Creator Favors Someone in the Work? Our sages said about the verse, the Lord will turn his face to you, or will favor you. One verse says, the Lord will favor you. And another verse says, who does not turn his face. How can these two verses be reconciled? When Israel do the Creator's will, the Lord will favor you. And when they do not do the Creator's will, who does not favor. We should understand this. If Israel do the Creator's will, why is being favored needed? To understand what they explained, we first need to understand what is the will of the Creator and what is the face of the Creator. We learn that the Creator's will is to bestow, as it is written, that the purpose of creation is His desire to do good to His creations, meaning to bestow upon them delight and pleasure. The face of the Creator is called revelation of the face, meaning when is rewarded with attaining open providence, that the Creator leads the world as the good who does good. It is written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, item 83, the first degree of the revelation of the face is the attainment of the providence of reward and punishment in utter clarity. This comes to a person only through his salvation when one is awarded the opening of eyes in the Holy Torah in wonderful attainment and becomes a flowing spring in any mitzvah in the Holy Torah that one has kept of his own labor and choice. One is granted seeing the reward of the mitzvah intended for him in the next world, as well as the great loss in the transgression. According to the above, we should interpret what we asked about what is written here, that those who do the Creator's will, He favors them. If they are doing the Creator's will, why do they need the Lord will favor you? The thing is that the face of the Creator is revelation of His guidance as a guidance of good and doing good. Since there was a correction that before one corrects the will to receive so as to work in order to bestow, there will be concealment and hiding on his providence. Hence, before one achieves the state of doers of his will, meaning that as the Creator's will is to bestow, so man should come to want to bestow. When there is equivalence of form, the Creator can give him the revelation of his face, which is the opening of the eyes in the Torah, and he is rewarded with the attainment that the Creator leads the world in a manner of good and doing good. But this can be only after one does the will of the Creator, meaning that one has been rewarded with desire to bestow, for specifically when the restriction and concealment are lifted. Before Israel do the Creator's will, when they rather want the Creator to give them everything in vessels of reception, which is the opposite of the Creator's will, whose desire is to bestow. There must be guidance in a manner of who will not favor, but in the manner of Ahoraim, of the posterior, which is called the concealment of the face of the Creator. This is regarded as who will not favor, and it is because of the correction that there will not be the matter of shame. Likewise, we should interpret the above verse in relation to the time of the beginning of the work. Before one has been rewarded with being among those who have been rewarded with doing the Creator's will, we should interpret doers of his will to mean those who are walking on the path to achieve being among those who do the Creator's will. Since when they walk on this path, they are already named after the road on which they walk. This is as Baal HaSulam said about what is written, "We'll give wisdom to the wise." He asked, "It should have said, 'We'll give wisdom to the fools.'" And he said that this refers to those who already want wisdom. They are already called wise because they are walking on the path toward obtaining wisdom. And since they are giving an awakening from below, they are given wisdom from above. It is likewise here. When they want to achieve the power of the desire to bestow, this is regarded as doing the Creator's will. According to the rule, he who comes to purify is aided, they are given help from above, from the Creator. For this reason, the writing tells them, the Lord will favor you, meaning the Creator shines his face to them, namely helps them. And what is this help? This is as it is written in the Zohar, he who comes to purify is aided. He asks, with what? And the reply is, with a holy soul, which is called the face of the Creator. As it is written, "For by the light of your face you have given us the law of life and the love of mercy." In other words, through the light of the face, they receive the love of chesed, which is bestowal. That is, the Creator gives them the strength to love chesed, meaning to love being a giver. This is called, the Lord will turn his face to you, meaning favor you, and will give you peace. Peace means, as it is written, I will hear what the Lord God shall speak, for he shall speak peace unto his people, and let them not turn back to folly. It follows that the peace means that the Creator says peace, that he will not sin again, and he is rewarded with being at peace with the Creator. This is the meaning of when they do the Creator's will, they receive the assistance of the Creator, as it says, the Lord will favor you. But when they do not do the Creator's will, meaning when they are not walking on the path toward achieving the desire of the Creator, which is the desire to bestow, it is said about them, who does not favor. That is, he cannot help them by satisfying their wish, since their wish is the opposite of Kedusha. So how can he give them something that contradicts the Creator's will? Since all that one should do in the work is correct his actions so they are in order to bestow. And if the Creator favors them, meaning that they receive help, so they work for the will to receive for themselves, it is as though the Creator is failing them.
Hence,
the Creator helps them by not favoring them, so they do not remain in self-love. It was said about this, he who comes to defile, it is opened for him, but he is not helped. Unlike when he comes to purify, who is assisted. Now, we can understand the meaning of repentance. Meaning, what should one reply, since repentance, tshuva, means that he received something and he must give back what he received. The thing is that since man is born with a nature that is the will to receive for his own benefit, when he wants to work only for man's sake, meaning that he wants the Creator to fill his vessels of reception, a person should repent on this, meaning do everything for the sake of the Creator. In other words, what he receives, he does not want to receive for his own sake, but rather all that he receives is in order to bring contentment to the Creator. Since the Creator wants man to receive, as it is written, his desire is to do good to his creations. It follows that all that he receives is only in order to return it. Otherwise, he does not want to receive. This is called tshuva, meaning that he returns everything he receives. This is as it is written in the Zohar, anyone who repents, it is as though he returned the letter He, which is Malchut, to the letter Vav, which is Zeranpin, who is the son of Yud-Kei, completing the Havayah. This is certainly repentance, for it is the letters of the He shall return to Vav. And in the Zohar it says, this repentance, which is Malchut and the He of Havayah, is called life. As it is written, for from it is the offshoot of life, which are the soul of Israel, the offshoot of Malchut, which is called life. She is a hevel, a breath that goes out of one's mouth without toil and without labor, which is the hay of Behi Bar'am when they were created. For the letter hay is expressed by the mouth more easily than all the letters. And it was said about it, and the image of the Lord does he behold. Since Malchut is called the image of the Lord, also only in the shadow shall one walk, and because it is on the man's head. He must not walk 4 cubits bareheaded, since if it departs from over one's head, life immediately departs from him. We should interpret the words of the Zohar when it says that repentance means the return of the hay to the vav. The thing is that all of our work is to take upon ourselves the burden of the kingdom of heaven, although it is concealed and hidden. That is, although the thought of creation is to do good to its creations, there was a restriction and concealment on the kingdom of heaven, so there would be room for choice. Meaning that man would be able to say that he does not accept the burden of the kingdom of heaven out of self-love, but in order to bring contentment to his maker. And if the king were revealed, man would accept the revelation of the king because of self-love. Since we must believe that there is no greater pleasure in the world than to see the king's face. It follows that at the time of the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven, man was compelled to be separated due to the disparity of form, as it is written and is known that disparity of causes separation in spirituality. It follows that this concealment causes that it is difficult for us to assume the burden of the kingdom of heaven and believe that his guidance is in a manner of good and doing good. And only when one walks on the path toward achieving equivalence of form, meaning that all his actions will be for the sake of the Creator, to that extent, his aim is to bestow. To the extent that his aim is to bestow, to that extent the concealment and restriction are removed from him. At that time, a person can obtain the delight and pleasure, since then he receives in the manner of reflected light, O Chozer, meaning that he enjoys only because he wants to bring contentment to his maker. Hence, the reception of pleasure does not inflict separation. In that state, a person receives the abundance according to the rule more than a calf wants to eat, the cow wants to feed. Then, a person has no more work to obtain anything, because the upper one can already give, because he already has the vessels of equivalence of form. It follows that the heart of man's work is to obtain vessels of bestowal. According to the above, we should interpret what is repentance when he says, the hay, which is Malchut, shall return as she is separated from the name Havaya. That is, Malchut, which is the totality of the souls and should provide for all the souls, if the created beings work as they must, meaning doing everything in order to bestow, then each of them causes a desire to bestow at the root of his soul. At that time, Malchut receives equivalence of form with the Creator, who is the giver. It follows that the abundance pours down to the creatures without any toil and labor, as in the words of the Zohar, since the giving of the abundance belongs to the Creator. He will give, and man will have no work to obtain it. Rather, all of man's work is on the vessels, the kelim, so they will have equivalents of form. This is called the work of the earth, meaning that the work is for their kingdom of heaven to work in order to bestow. This is as it is written, everything is in the hands of heaven, but the fear of heaven. We should interpret that everything means the filling that the Creator gives. There are many kinds in the abundance. But in general, they are called Naran Chai, or Chasadim, or Chokhmah, Light of Chokhmah, Light of Chasadim. The Creator gives all those without any labor on the part of man, other than fear of heaven, where fear means that one must work to have fear that he might not be able to work in order to bestow. This pertains to man's work. In other words, a person is afraid he might not be able to aim in order to bestow. We attribute the matter of not receiving to man, and the matter of giving we attribute to the Creator. It follows that the fear of heaven means he is afraid to receive, since he might thereby come to separation from the Creator. This work we attribute to man. That is, all of man's work is to obtain vessels of bestowal. But it is not upon man to seek advice how to obtain abundance, since we need not worry about this. Rather, all our worries should be how to obtain the desire to bestow, since Malchut, who is called life, from her are the offshoot of life. This is after one has obtained the vessels of bestowal by returning the Malchut, called the receiving vessel, to now be as the giving vessel. Meaning that the created beings have corrected at the root of their souls, which is Malchut, that she will work in order to bestow and not receive. At that time, Malchut bestows upon them life, as it is written, for from it is the offshoot of life. This one receives without toil and without labor, which is the meaning of the hay of Behi Baram, of when they were created. In other words, once a person has corrected the Malchut, which is the final hay, into equivalence of form with the Yud Kei Vav, the abundance extends to the man who has corrected her without toil or labor. This is the meaning of saying, it was said about her, and the image of the Lord does he behold. Since Malchut is called the image of the Lord, we should interpret that he wants to tell us that all the work is only on fear, meaning not to receive the abundance, lest he will not be able to aim in order to bestow. This is as it is written about Moses, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look. They said, in return for Moses hid his face, he was rewarded, the image of the Lord does he behold. In other words, the labor is on the fear, as it is written, for he was afraid to look. After which came the reward without toil or labor. When he was rewarded with seeing the image of the Lord, which is Malchut, as it says, for Malchut is called the image of the Lord. It follows that all of life came from Malchut, as she says, Vav Kei of Havaya, is called life, and the hay of Havaya is called life, which comes without toil or labor. This is the meaning of only in the shadow shall one walk. Bala Sulam said that shadow means shade, and shadow is where the sun does not shine, which is concealment. In other words, once a person accepts the kingdom of heaven as concealment above reason, he is rewarded with knowledge of Kedusha. This is the meaning of what is written, only in the shadow shall one walk. Precisely when one takes upon himself the kingdom of heaven as a shadow by which one can ascend the rungs of holiness. This is the meaning of shall one walk. Also, he should interpret what is written, one must not walk 4 cubits bareheaded. Head means knowledge and intellect. Covering the head means that he covers the intellect and does not look at it, but goes above reason. 4 cubits are the man. This is his height. It means that one is forbidden to walk without faith above reason. If he does walk within reason, meaning bareheaded, life immediately departs from him. Rather specifically, by covering the head, he will be rewarded with the knowledge of Kedusha. However, this work of faith above reason should be with a sound mind. For only then can one understand what is above reason. Otherwise, a person is mistaken with the meaning of above reason. This is as our sages said, do not appease your neighbor while he is angry. Hence, when one is angry, meaning when he is dissatisfied with the situation he's in, and begins to introspect, he falls into mistakes and cannot calculate truthfully. As our sages said, once he comes by anger, he comes by every mistake. Man's main anger at himself is expressed in work, in sadness at the state he is in. Hence, all the calculations he does are wrong. He himself is in a state where there is no peace of mind in him. In that state, he should not make any calculations, but take upon himself the kingdom of heaven without any calculations. And only once he has taken upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven by force, and when his anger has subsided, can he calculate to know what is above reason and what is below reason and what is within reason. We should know that when a person is angry at something, he feels that he is in an uncomfortable situation. At such a time, it is impossible to believe in private providence, that the Creator leads the world in a manner of good and doing good. Hence, in that state, he slanders the guidance of the Creator and naturally becomes separated from faith. Since there is a correction from above, which our sages called, one does not sin unless a spirit of folly has entered him. This means that the spirit of Kedusha that he had has departed from him. This is done in man's favor, since when he does not have the spirit of Kedusha, he cannot blemish what he does not have. Hence, when one falls into a state of sadness, meaning he has nothing from which to derive joy, he becomes separated from Kedusha. At that time, there is only one advice: to take upon himself by force the burden of the kingdom of heaven and pray to the Creator to help him so that this coercion that he has taken upon himself, the Creator will help him make it with joy. As it is written, serve the Lord with gladness. Since now this work is compulsory for him, from where will he take joy? For this reason, one must pray to the Creator to help him be able to observe that what is written, serve the Lord with gladness. Also, at that time, one should overcome in the manner of an awakening from below and believe that it is a great privilege that he was able to overcome his situation and be able to do something against the intellect, which is called above reason. Also, he should believe, once he has overcome above reason, this is regarded that he is a servant of the Creator. Since now, he is working with faith above reason. That this is the overcoming that he is doing now. Doing is called work of the Creator, since now he is working with faith above reason. In other words, only now he is considered working, since the body does not agree to this work. It therefore follows that when one comes to a state where the body does not want to do the holy work, and a person is in a state where he has no spirit of life, this is the time when a person is regarded as having no faith in the Creator. Since faith in the Creator brings joy. Hence, when he is irritated and angry with himself, to the point that he cannot stand anything around him, he is considered to be an idol worshiper. This is as our sages said, anyone who is angry, it is as though he is committing idol worship. This is so because he has no faith. Hence, a person should try to be thankful to the Creator for every contact that he has with spirituality. And then he unifies the connection with the Creator. In other words, even if he is in a state where the body rejects anything of Kedusha, he can maintain contact with the Creator even for over this. Meaning that a person must say at that time, the fact that I feel that I have no desire for work, this too is called contact. That is, a person sees that he does not always think about work, whether or not he wants to work. Rather, he should think and worry about other matters, which have no connection to spirituality. Hence, now that he has contact, he is thankful for it. And by this, he can re-enter the work and begin to live a life of Kedusha. Although there are many discernments in the connection that one connects oneself to the Creator, any contact is a great thing. It is written about it, as your name, God, so is your glory. This means that as much as one can appreciate the greatness and importance of the Creator, to that extent, he can thank and praise the Creator. Clearly, the more one can depict to oneself the greatness and importance of the Creator, he will be able to give greater praises to the Creator. However, By overcoming and praising the Creator over something, regardless what it is for which he thanks the Creator, this act already gives connection to the Creator. And by this, he can come to do the holy work in truth. Hence, in every situation, only prayer helps.
No.
Well, what was the impression from the article?
It was a complete, perfect article. But I have a question. He writes, a person tries with every contact he has with spirituality to give thanks to the Creator. And then he unifies that connection with the Creator. What is it to give thanks to the Creator? How do we give thanks to the Creator? What, with words or what?
All my bones shall say. In every... We don't know how we can express something. Simply according to the tendency or leaning in the heart. This is how we answer the Creator for what we received from Him.
Is thanks a state that happens to me?
Yes, it's a state. It's a reaction.
Is it like a natural response, or that is he wants to think? Or
no, first of all, natural. All my bones shall say is a natural reaction. That this is how I react to what the Creator gives me.
So how to be in a state of thanks, to come to that state of gratitude for all my bones to say so?
Well, it's like we have to calibrate it like to tune it like a musical instrument. Where we try to understand, to feel, to express all kinds of states, which, of course, we receive from the Creator.
Another question he writes, this work of faith above reason needs to be in the settling of the reason, because only then he can understand what faith above reason, otherwise he's mistaken in that.
Yes.
So what is this?
Settling of the mind is when a person tries to connect to his vessel, to his soul, to his ten spirit in him. How he tries to connect in a way that he wants to discover in every state. He wants to discover the bestowal of the Creator in everything that awakens in him.
I still don't understand what this settling of the reason is, sir.
Settling of the mind or of the reason is that there is no contradiction between what he feels and what he receives from the Creator. That he understands that he is under the control of the Creator, that the Creator calibrates and arranges his vessel and fills his vessel and makes sure a person receives correctly his bestowal, the bestowal of the Creator.
And how from this settling of reason does a person go to above reason?
This, if a person If a person
is
in a certain feeling and understanding connection with the Creator, and now he wants to rise to a higher level, to that desire, to that that thoughts, to that intention that the Creator gives in it to him. This is called rising to faith above reason.
Ken.
Yes.
Rabash writes to us that we are needing to toil over fear. What is this exertion that we make for fear?
To constantly stay in a situation where the Creator is the first. He organizes, he arranges my vessel, he influences this vessel, he bestows upon it. And what happens in me, including the end, my final decision, in the influence of the Creator, it all.
Rav,
he's talking here about anger, sadness, that if a person discovers that he's in such a state that he has to take upon himself in, with force the burden of the kingdom of heaven and to pray for that prayer to be in joy and gladness. Can you depict this state here for us? Describe it.
What process? How he comes from sadness to?
Where's this sadness, irritation, anger come from? What does a person need to do in such a state?
In every place, a person needs to discover that what he has, he received only from the Creator. And therefore, he should be happy. Because what he receives from the Creator, that already pushes him forward. If he ties what he receives to the Creator, then he is already on the path. And if he cannot, or doesn't want to, or he cannot succeed in tying what he receives with the Creator, it's a sign he got disconnected.
And
he then discovers that he's disconnected and he's in anger. So yes. What do we do now?
What do you do now? You connect with the ten. In which there is always the point of balance and I want to reach it. This is what we have to do immediately.
In coercion, in force.
Yes, of course.
And how can we be glad from that?
Because to me, it is really arranged, pre-made. And through this action, I go out on a straight path toward correction.
What's the connection between anger and sadness? They seem like two emotions or two different states.
No, they accompany one another. If a person loses his connection with the Creator,
then
he enters a state of sadness. And if he loses his control over this connection, he enters a state of anger.
I want to continue to scrutinize this state of anger. Whoever knows that situation, I know it very well on myself. He writes here that at that moment, every calculation you make is wrong, is mistaken. The spirit of folly enters you, and altogether there are states that you're angry at the friends, you're angry at the situation, even at the Creator who's concealed here. What's that state? What, I have to always go with a smile like this? Like a silly smile on my face? What can I do?
No one tells you you have to start making faces here and start acting. Rather, you're told that you have to know that if you are in a state that is incompatible with the Creator, it's a sign you're opposite, far from the Creator. And you have a problem that you and he are not in the same abode, same chamber.
What is it considered that a person should be in as much contact with the Creator? What is it considered that he's in contact with the Creator?
When a person is in connection with the Creator, when he thanks the Creator, when he understands and is willing to accept any influence of the Creator on himself, or in the bestowal of the Creator.
And most of the day we have that example of the person who goes to the market and he's operating, he's working according to, if not me, then who? And then only at the end of the day he says there's none else besides him. At that time that he's in the market and he's busy, and is he connected with the Creator in that time that he's concerned with, if it's not for me, then who?
If he says, if I'm not for me, who is for me? Then he is in connection with the Creator, but indirectly. Because he says, I have no providence over me, everything depends on me.
So most of the time, when I'm connected with the friends, that already says that I'm connected from here. I'm coming closer to a connection with the Creator? Or is there...
No, if you don't have such an intention that you're not, then you're not getting closer.
So the point of being connected with the Creator is to truly be in gratitude. That's considered?
This is the first point that has to be, that I position myself in connection with all the means, the practical commandments, the friends. So I position myself in such a way that I hope that through all kinds of actions I will come to connect to a connection with the Creator. This is what I want to achieve.
Rav, a person wakes up like a pile of bones and comes here. Feels completely disconnected from spirituality. How, from that point, can a person suddenly come and give thanks to the Creator? It feels like a complete lie. It's not even closely connected to where I am. I'm disconnected. I'm in myself, all kinds of states.
Through scrutinizing the thoughts,
what does that mean, scrutinizing my thoughts?
Why do I feel this way? What am I thinking about? What should I be thinking about? Bring yourself closer. Plan your labor toward the right thoughts, connection with the friends.
Kind of like an externality, you know, we built ourselves this environment where in externality you can do everything. You come, you sit down, you do a workshop, there's preparation, everything's kind of happening already.
I'm not relating to this. I am relating to what happens in a person's heart.
No.
That's exactly what I'm asking about. So how does a person change his heart? He feels...
The heart is only in the hands of the Creator, only. No one can influence the heart.
So how do you give thanks in a place where a person's here and he feels like he's on the other side of earth?
Well,
how do we give thanks? What am I giving thanks for exactly?
You're still not giving. You have to first perform some action on your inner state. When you bring yourself closer to the truth, then you will give thanks for the Creator's help to you.
How do I? What are those steps? How do I come closer to it?
Where are you now? Far from the truth, far from adhesion, through the friends reaching the Creator. So what do? Now you have to ask for a change in your vessel. You ask for the reforming light, that it will change your direction of thought and desire, and by this you will search in what new way to be connected with the friends. And you will want to draw them to you, to bow before them, to annul before them. And in this way, you gradually come to realize that you will see the society before you as a society that is entirely corrected, a good society, ready to accept you, to open its arms to you. And then you come to them, you embrace with them, and then together with them, you make efforts to reveal the Creator in the connection between you.
And this whole process is even before the thanks. There's not even thanks yet. There's only prayer at this point.
You can also say thank you that you are, after all, getting closer to something. But there is another sequence of actions here.
But this is a place where still in this process, it looks like the society doesn't really appear like something. Only I feel like I'm messed up, like there's something corrupted in me.
Yes, you have to raise them above your head.
How does a person not be angry at himself in this point that it's talked about here in the article?
Because all the states he received from this worst to the best, he receives them from the Creator, and it's all in order for him to experience those states one by one.
Meaning the fact that I connect this state and the Creator is giving me some kind of support, let's say, to begin to advance towards that way?
Or yes.
Is that how it is?
Yes.
Rav, in the matter of the anger, it's written here, there's a big innovation for me here, that the anger is for the loss of connection with the Creator.
Yes.
But I want to ask, it's kind of like I feel this personally. I am assuming there's maybe another one or two that the anger is as if I've been kidnapped. I don't control. There's a button and I've moved to the state of anger without any control. And my question is, can we do something? How do I strengthen myself to not fall into that being kidnapped into the anger?
In connection with the friends, there's nothing else to do here. There's only one answer to all our states, to constantly increase the connection.
Okay, how do I do connection? I'm in my daily life, and all of a sudden something happens. I have this anger, and I totally accept that it's anger for the loss of connection with the Creator. How do I sustain this friends caring for me? How do I use this advice of avoiding falling into anger?
You don't think about the anger. You think about the connection with the friends.
Shadam pogem
When a person blemishes the Creator, he immediately feels these feelings of guilt that he's not okay. But prior to that, what I understood from the article, the spirit of the Creator departs from him and then he blemishes or condemns.
Could be.
The question is, why did the spirit depart?
Otherwise, how will the Creator give him room to work?
Why
should he fall?
In order to feel that he is far and be able to correct himself.
So he departs in order to help him?
This is called help.
So all in all, when a person does some act that condemns or disqualifies, it's kind of okay. It's not that it's opposite. He's supposed to even be happy that that happens that way.
Well, whatever happens along the way happens.
And in the article, he writes there that if the spirit of the Creator departs and he has blemished in some way, he should be happy that now he can't. Because he's distanced, he cannot harm or blemish the Creator.
Yes.
And for that, he should be happy that he cannot cause damage there. So how do we get glad from not being able to harm the Creator?
No.
I don't need to create gladness over this. I have to create gladness over understanding what lowly state I'm in now and how I can begin to rise from it.
Just in relation to the advice again, when a person defiles but the spirit first departs, to help him come closer.
Now,
is it's something that's not simple to do, because when a person feels this distance and it's as if coming as a result of some incorrect action that he did, he feels like he's done something wrong maybe, and he feels this distancing, it's very difficult to see in this something that the Creator wants to bring him closer with. The question is whether the very thought in these situations, the efforts, truly bring him to feeling happy from being distanced as well.
He should receive support from the environment so that, in every single situation, the Creator wants to bring him closer. There is no state in which the Creator wants to push him away. Only to bring him closer.
They're asking from Latin 1, why does the Creator throw a person to a state of anger?
In order for him to understand and know how many disturbances he has in the will to receive that he has to correct. So he will learn how to work with them.
Yes. From Kabu 9, he's asking, what in practice is the work of the covering of the head?
That he goes above reason.
From Kabu 9, they're continuing and asking, what is the advice for a person that cannot derive joy from accepting upon himself forcefully the burden of the kingdom of heaven? How does a person do that work with joy?
Indeed, if he cannot be in gladness in this work, then he's not really in bestowal, but rather he is on the borderline. And it's not good in the eyes of the Creator and in the eyes of the person. What can he do? He should try to nevertheless go and enter above reason over the disturbance.
They're asking from Belarus how to express the prayer of gratitude to the Creator.
It It depends what state the person is in, but first of all, he has to come to a state where he understands that his failure, his situation, is a good situation to correct and rise through it. And this is why he is grateful to the Creator for teaching him in all kinds of ways like this how to come closer to him. Questions here?
I heard now that we should understand that his failure is a good state because the Creator teaches him that way how to come closer.
Yes. How else do we learn if not from failures?
The failure is good because by it the Creator wants to teach me how to come closer to him.
When he shows you how wrong you were and why you were wrong and what you should have done in order not to be wrong. But if you didn't make a mistake, then you'd be rising to a certain degree. And now, instead of rising, you fell. And how does that help you if you fell? Because now you're given the possibility
to
correct that state, but with your own understanding and powers.
What's the correction?
That you want to be corrected with your own powers.
And that very desire is advancement already?
That desire in itself is already corrected.
So I want from the failure to be not in a failure, to be successful. And in a moment, again, I will be in failure.
So what?
So I'm going from failure to failure.
From correction to correction. If you don't feel the failure, how will you correct it?
It's as if the Creator is sending me announcements where I need to correct, and I need to be thank you from those notifications where to correct. I'm not correcting anything, I'm just failing. Tomorrow, fail. He's sending me another announcement. Here, correct this, fail this.
No. When you fail, you understand and feel the failure. You experience it. You feel why I was wrong, where I was wrong, what exactly was my mistake, what is the reason for it. And then you understand that you acted incorrectly. And next time, you don't make the mistake.
And if next time I mistake again?
No, it cannot be. It cannot be. This can be only on condition that they want to raise a person from degree to degree, from degree to degree, on the same trail. It is written about it, 1,000 times will a righteous fall. Yes.
Why only when Moses is feared to look at the face of the Creator, then he shall observe the face of the Creator?
Because then he is going with complete faith above reason, as if the Creator is in front of him, and he is going toward him, although he has no proof of it within reason, but everything is above reason. We still need to explain and feel the situation itself. But basically, this is how we advance.
What was he fearful of?
I can't tell you what really happened in Moses' state. Let's hope that sometime we'll be able to feel and understand. But Moses is afraid of veering off from that path, from that trail, that a state will come that he will want to know, to
He writes here, even though he's in a state in which the body rejects anything that is of Kedusha, he can make connection with the Creator upon that as well. And then, now that he has contact, he gives thanks to the Creator for that, and by that, a person can once again enter the work, etc. Meaning, it's like he's giving us here a tool which is like artificially thanking, even though I don't want to work in Kedusha. If I start to thank, it kind of takes me out and brings me closer.
Even in this way. It's called from lo lishma, we come to lishma. From that. We come to lishma. From that for her sake, we come to for her sake.
About what Owen asked, is there's this certain kind of repetitiveness that causes you to be apathetic about it, indifferent to it. You're no longer like burning from it. It doesn't like really disturb you anymore because it happened yesterday and you have a feeling it'll happen tomorrow again. You're being shown how you failed and you're, like Owen said, you're getting a notification about it. You failed here. But because it's for years, it's in very similar places. It seems like the failures are happening in the same places. So you're not excited by it anymore. It's like, I understand I failed. I understand that I'm separated from the Creator. I understand that I have to go back now and be repenting. But there's no, you're not really moved by it too much anymore.
The fact that you're not moved by it, that depends on you. Through the society, you can increase your excitement and bring yourself back to sufficient anxiety for an ascent. It depends on you. A person always has a possibility to calm himself down.
But the will to receive chooses those possibilities because they're more convenient, more opportune to him.
Well, we always have to deal with it, face it as much as we can. What is the difference between truth and reality? And to constantly prefer truth to reality.
That's not connected to the first question. Out of curiosity, this article is from the 1990-91. This article came after many, many articles.
91, it's like one of the last articles.
Yes, this is one of the later articles from Rabash.
Yes.
I have a question, and many times I thought that this question came up in me. He invests a lot of words in explaining something that he explained already more or less word by word many, many times before.
It doesn't matter. If you heard him, you would have heard almost a thousand times, almost the exact same thing.
So how do you see an innovation? All the things, everything is like, you don't need to receive in order to receive, you have to receive in order to bestow, and you have to be careful not to receive in order to receive.
Yes.
So this is, he's writing this whole articles, lots of articles, long and repeating almost the same expressions, sometimes even the same examples. How do you find something innovative here in each one of these articles?
Innovation you find through your feelings, through the decisions, the nerves. How else can it be?
When you sat next to him and he could say a thousand times the same thing, more or less.
Yes.
What did you see in the differences between the 1,000 and 1,001?
In him, for him, there was always some innovation. First of all, the innovation was that he spoke to an audience, and he, in the audience, he felt a difference in the will to receive today compared to what happened in the previous time. So for him, he was as excited as if it's the first time. That's the way it is. It was amazing to see.
After all, he would write these articles, he would get a certain feeling of what the audience needs next week, let's see. And then he would go in and write it new each time.
The articles were written in such a way that he would awaken them as we were walking or driving. Riding in the car, and then I'd hear him typing in the second floor. With one finger, he would type the articles. Just imagine what kind of work this is. There are articles that are long. But that's what he did. Until he gave us in these articles, you can say, all the states that a group of students should go through in order to achieve correction. This was really his goal, to show the road for a group that wants to reach correction.
And not necessarily to the group that was there before him physically.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter completely. Desire. This is what matters.
Yaakov.
Yes.
He writes a lot about gratitude and says that a person tries on every contact with spirituality to thank the Creator, and then he unites the connection with him. And at the end, it's written, doesn't matter what he gives him thanks about, that action already makes a connection to the Creator. Meaning he's showing how gratitude connects you to the Creator. So what's so special about gratitude that makes you connect to the Creator?
What else can connect, can tie a person to the Creator, if not gratitude?
Prayer, friends.
Okay, and that's prayer. Gratitude is prayer.
I thought prayer is a deficiency, a demand for something.
No, not only. That's one side of the prayer. The other side of the prayer is that a person is in a state of gratitude.
In gratitude, does he ask for anything?
He is grateful.
So what in that gratefulness connects to the Creator? By me giving thanks, I don't feel anything. He writes that
if one doesn't feel anything, he's not in a state of gratitude.
He says even for the tiny little bit, the main thing is to give gratitude, and it's already a connection to the Creator.
Right, it's exactly that. Start now developing your gratitude until it will seem as one kli.
The advice you gave about that fall that the Creator wants to bring us closer, so many times the clothing of the failure seems the same. It just seems like it's the same. What does the Creator want to teach by letting you fall in the same place again and again?
That you will understand the cause of this fall. Ask, demand.
The question is, we work in order, we try to aim in order to bestow, we try to build the vessels of bestow, but then in the articles, it says that the abundance comes by itself. And then there's a point, if I understand correctly, to be careful not to receive in order to receive, to constantly be in fear that will only receive in order to bestow. So how do I work with this fear? I feel the fear, but he sends me abundance, so what should I do?
Fear from receiving in order to receive, that you'll suddenly fall to it, yeah?
Yeah. So, the Creator sends abundance because we were working correctly, and then I have to be in fear not to lose the intention.
Yes.
So how do I work with it? Because fear shrinks you. What do I do exactly with the fear?
You want to connect with the friends in order to create one desire, one kli. In order to come and be fulfilled with that same revelation that you want to attain, and by that to come closer. What's the question?
There's states that sometimes you feel that you're moving away from the friends, from something corporeal, and then it's hard to know whether it's necessity or should I move it aside and run to the friends.
Okay. Now, this is already a different question.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Moshe.
He writes that faith above reason has to be when settling your reason. What does settling your reason mean?
It's important to know that you're not in this inner mess, inner confusion, but that you are settled, that you know where you are and what's happening with your current state, that the Creator is raising you to a new unknown state. And you want to raise your opinion to something that you don't understand how to be included in.
Settling the reason is not in reason?
No, it's within the new reason.
So a person has to be in reason in order to go above reason? What are we failing in a deed we did in our hands and legs, or that we didn't ask?
With not connecting and asking from that connection.
So let's say I had a 10 meeting yesterday and I didn't come, I disregarded it, I felt it in me, and I didn't ask, let's say, from within the 10 a correction for that. So that was my failure?
Yes. I think the 10th meeting, that was really yesterday?
You have an example.
The 10th meeting has to be for us as the most important thing from which we can demand, raise, to reorganize ourselves. That is truly lacking. We need to grasp it.
Татьяна называется, что Творец обращает свой лик в духовной работе, а тут он описывает.
The article is called "What does it mean that the Creator favors someone in the work?" And then he's explaining how we return to the Creator. So how does this encounter take place? He turns to us, we go to him.
We can't have any inclination to the Creator, coming closer to the Creator on behalf of the created beings, if the Creator won't do the same action from his side first. We are always responding to it. We are the created beings, and he is the first. He's always the first.
It's
written that this malchut that we build, we raise it to him. So what is that malchut in our work?
Our will to receive, when we connect it, each and every one, we connect it together, and that desire we raise to the Creator in order to correct it and to fulfill it with the light of Chasadim, and that in the light of Chasadim we will be able to receive the light of Chokhmah, revelation of the Creator to the created being.
Дорогой Раф, а как мы его исправляем, это желание? И как мы его наполняем?
How do we correct this desire? How do we fill it?
Through prayer, we have nothing more to do. We are the created beings. Our role is to ask for corrections and fulfillments, and by that we reach the conclusion, the ending. We can.
The Creator can bless whoever He wants, and all man's tendencies come from the Creator. And man can advance to the Creator only to the extent that He lets him do it. So what is this desire that works between man and the Creator?
That we want to realize our desire, that according to our desire, we want to come closer to the Creator, to hold on to Him, and then to realize the connection, and through the connection to start receiving from Him strength, and upon this strength to position ourselves in the spiritual work. We want to do this.
What is it that fear that he might not be able to work in order to bestow does not come from the Creator? Everything comes from the Creator.
Ken.
Yes.
So, where does this, is this fear that is the only part that does not come from the Creator, it says? So what is that part?
We need to develop fear of the Creator between us and raise this to the Creator, so that same quality can't come from here, but only from between us, the created beings, to Him.
Do we need to?
That is called fear of the Creator.
Do we need to ask for this fear off?
If we don't exactly know how to reach it, then we need to ask. Yes.
Hello, we're reading the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah from the writings of Baal HaSulam. We are in item 155. The subtitle is Explaining the Ascents of the Worlds. Explaining the Ascents of the Worlds, 155. The main difference between the Partsufim of Ak and the Partsufim of the world of Atzilut is that the Partsufim of Ak are from the first restriction, where each degree contains 10 complete Sfirot. Also, there is only one vessel in the 10 Sfirot, the vessel of Malchut. But the first 9 Sfirot are only considered lights. Conversely, the Partsufim of Atzilut are from the second restriction, As it is written, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven, when he associated mercy with judgment, the quality of judgment, which is Malchut, ascended and connected to Binah, which is the quality of mercy, and they were conjoined. Thus, a new siyum was placed over the upper light in the place of Binah. The Malchut that ends the Guf ascends to Binah of the Guf, which is Tiferet, and the place of Chazeh, and the place and the coupling at the Malchut of Peh, the Rosh, ascended to Binah of Rosh called Nigbe Enayim. Thus, the level of the Partsufim diminished into Gelgalta Enayim, which are Keter Chochma and vessels, at the level of Vak without a Rosh, which is Nefesh Ruach in lights. Hence, they are deficient of a Chap of vessels, which are Binah and Zon, and the lights of Neshama Chaya Echida.
Is that clear?
Lo barur. Ma lo barur.
Not clear. What's unclear?
He writes about the difference between Ak to the Partsufim of Atzilut.
What is it? היה לנו אור שלם.
In the Partsufim of Ak, we had complete light and a complete clay. In the Partsufim of Atzilut, when they start from Tabor and below, we have a clay which is incomplete and lights in it which are incomplete.
זה מה שהוא רוצה להגיד.
That is what he wants to say.
אתם רוצים לקרוא שוב?
Do you want to read again? Yes, okay. The main difference between the Partsufim of Ak and the Partsufim of the world of Atzilut is that the Partsufim of Ak are from the first restriction, meaning there are 10 complete Sfirot there with the Masach, with the screen that does the direct light, the returning light, and builds the Partsuf. Where each degree contains 10 complete Sfirot, also there is only one vessel in the 10 Sfirot. The vessel of Malchut. But the first 9 Sefirot are only considered lights. They don't yet have the vessels. The vessels begin from the Malchut. Conversely, the Partsufim of Atzilut are from the second restriction. As it is written, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. What does it mean? What did he do there? God, when he associated mercy, rachamim, with din, judgment, the quality of judgment, which is malchut, ascended and connected to Bina, which is the quality of mercy. And they were conjoined. Thus, a new siyum was placed over the upper light in the place of Binah. The Malchut that ends the Guf ascended to Binah of the Guf, which is Tiferet, at the place of the Chazeh, and the coupling Malchut at the Peh of the Rosh, ascended to Bina of the Rosh called Nikve Enaim. Thus, the level of the Partsufim diminished into Gelgalta Enaim, which all the Partsufim from above onwards, from this Tzimtzum Bet, second restriction, came from Galgalta Enayim, which are Keter Chochma in vessels at the level of Vak without a Rosh. In other words, they have only Vak of the lights, which is Nefesh Ruach in lights. Hence, they are deficient of a chap of the vessels, which are Bina and Zon, and the lights, Neshama Chaya Yechida. They are the Neshama Chaya and Yechida. So what is unclear here? Ask.
No.
Go ahead, Niv, you're afraid to ask.
סיפרת פעם שהייתם לומדים ומתרגשים והיה חתול כזה
study and be excited, and there was this cat that sat there on the floor and just wagging its tail, not feeling what's going on between you.
Well,
seems like this letter has a lot of light in it, and I'm like this cat next to this letter.
Okay, fine.
Can we raise man for something to happen?
The cat did this with his ear. If we'd scream too much, so he'd make like a motion that he's not satisfied of us.
If I'm that same cat, but I feel that there are these carriages of light in this letter, what can I do?
Do like the cat.
But I want to be a person.
So ask that you want to raise to the degree of man. Rise.
Can we read this at some point together?
We'll read it. We're not done with this. You don't know how much more work we still have. Try today at least two times to read what we went through from the beginning of this
from 155 until 160 including.
Yeah, it's not much. And then we'll also read it tomorrow with God's help. Yeah.